so enthusiastic to go to Children's Church. All right, if you'll turn with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. And here Peter is wrapping up his discussion, and he's zeroing in on a key element within the Christian church. Remember correctly, one of the major issues in 1 Peter is the fact that the church is undergoing persecution. Peter knows they're going to actually experience more persecution and greater persecution. And so he is reminding them of three things. He's reminding them, first of all, that the Lord said you're going to go through persecution. Secondly, that the Lord is able to strengthen them through the persecution. And three, that they'll be rewarded if they stand firm in the persecution. Now, one of the things I find intriguing about the passage we're going to look at is the fact it's repeated by John and it's repeated by Paul, where each one of them calls themselves elders. Paul says, I'm an elder. And it's one elder to another. So, in other words, Paul at one point stepped down from calling himself an apostle and says, listen, I'm a fellow elder. As one of you, I'm talking. Peter says, listen, I'm an elder. John says, listen, I am one of the elders. In other words, they're speaking to this transition between the apostles. You're going to hand off leadership to elders. As apostles, we've got the thing started, but elders have to pick it up. And so one of the things we have, for example, Paul telling Titus that when you go to from church to church in Crete, you're to appoint elders for the church. And he has a very strong message for elders here. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that's going to be revealed, shepherd the flock which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but for eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. Now, he is going to transition into those who are following the elders later on, but he is saying, listen, if the church is going to stand, the leaders have to first stand. Everything rises and falls upon leadership. So this passage is linked to the previous chapter. He said, listen, the church is going under persecution and it's going to have greater persecution to come. And of course, Peter is looking towards that time where we know in history where Nero blames the Christians for the fire in Rome and sends out the first of great persecutions. And you're going to have it increased under Trajan. Under Domitian, you have this great period of time for the last, basically, half of the first century, you got this great persecution against the church. He says, now listen, and this is the key to the passage we're going to look at here. He says, listen, if the church is going to stand, the elders are the ones going to have to stand first. You're the front line. People in the congregation are going to look to who? Going to look to the leaders. He said, listen, you're going to have to stand firm and not shrink back. Because if the leaders shrink back, the people are going to follow that. So Peter knew what was coming. He knew the pressure. He knew what it meant to deny the Lord. That's why I had Mike read out of John 21. He knows the temptations. Matter of fact, we have two major spots in the New Testament where Peter shrunk back. The first we find here in John 21, where the fact that he had denied the Lord and the Lord has to restore him. The second we find over in Galatians chapter 2 is when visitors from Jerusalem show up with the Galatians. Peter and Barnabas and others of the Jews started backing away from the Gentile Christians. So Peter knew this temptation. So Paul had to confront Peter at that time. And so Peter says, listen, we can't shrink back. So he identifies, says, I'm not talking to you as an apostle now. I'm talking to you as a fellow elder. By the way, the Greek word elder just means old guy. We get the word presbyter from it. It means somebody who is advanced, not only in age, but in wisdom to be a leader. It's the same office as bishop. By the way, the concept of bishop we have in the Roman Catholic Church is not a biblical concept. The concept is just being an elder. It's the same office. It's the same office that's mentioned in the scriptures as overseer, which is basically what the word means. And so it says these are leaders of the church. And matter of fact, we have over in Hebrews 13 that these leaders are going to have to give an account for the souls that have been entrusted to them. And so the elders were responsible for guiding the church. They were responsible to step. He says, Peter says, listen, I witness the suffering of Christ. By the way, the word witness here, the Greek word, is the word we get martyred from. And we think a martyr is somebody who dies, you know, for the cause of Christ. But originally all it meant was a witness. But so many of the witnesses in the first century died for their witness that they became sort of synonymous with each other, a witness who ends up giving his life for Jesus Christ. And so it says, I was with Jesus. I saw his suffering. I saw him on the cross. And so I know the suffering of Christ and the fact of what he's going through, and it was a prelude also for the suffering that his church was going to go through as well. So Peter says, listen, in advance, I'm telling you to stand. This is coming. We have the same admonition over in Revelation chapter 2 with the Smyrna church. It's the fact, I know the persecution that's coming on you, he said, but you need to stand. And so Peter commands the elders to shepherd a flock. Now the word shepherd, the Greek word, is what we get our word pastor from. And so pastor is basically just a special elder appointed to teach. And so the whole idea of pastoral, these type of things, they come from this word. So elders were to shepherd the flock. Now, that imagery, by the way, is all the way through the scriptures about God's people being the sheep. You know, sheep are an interesting animal. They basically can't take care of themselves. They need to be taken care of. They're typically gentle. But the shepherd has to actually lead them to water. That's what Psalm 23 talks about, right? Lead me by beside the still waters. I mean, sheep will die of thirst within walking distance of water. They need to be led. The shepherd has to actually go into the field and to take out the poison plants because the sheep will just eat everything. Yeah. The poison plants and everything, it just doesn't have that kind of discernment. So that's why it needs a good what? A good shepherd to take care of, there's a little booklet that I read years ago. Being a shepherd from the perspective of a shepherd. This guy was an actual shepherd and explained what sheep were about. And we're called sheep, which is not the most flattering, but that's what we are spiritually. We're sheep. And so this shepherd imagery is all the way through the Bible. The most famous, obviously, Psalm 23, you know, to lead me beside still waters, you know, thy rod and thy staff, they what? They comfort me. And so we have this imagery of shepherding. And of course, David was a shepherd, right? Solomon was told to shepherd God's people. He didn't do a very good job of it. But the king was not to be a lord over them, but a what? A shepherd to lead them. Sheep need protection. They need nourishing. They need oversight. Sheep depend on the shepherd for guidance. And elders are to guide the flock. Now, the elder, according to this, holds two positions in the church. First of all, the elder is, notice what it says here, is among, not superior to, among the people, right? He's part of them. He's not to be lord over them. And so he's one. He's not speaking from, you know, thus sayest your elder. You know, he is, I'm with you. I'm part of you. You know, we're together. Secondly, he has oversight responsibility. He is a leader. He is responsible for what's being taught. He's responsible for counseling. He's responsible for teaching. He's responsible for being an example. Now, I want you to notice here that an elder must serve willingly. Literally in the Greek means eagerly. He must be someone who desires to be a leader, not because of power or authority, but because he wants to actually help the sheep. And he's able to do so. That's why it says in 1 Timothy 3:1, it says, he who desires to be a bishop or an elder desires a good thing. Now, why does he mention this? He mentions this because if it's somebody who has elder qualifications, but really said, I'd rather not do this, I'd rather not take responsibility, that person should not be chosen to be an elder. Someone has to be willing. Say, well, there's no one else to do it. I might as well do it. Well, that person's not going to serve well if you have to twist his arm to become an elder. And if he doesn't see that as his calling. So an elder needs to be willing to do this, willing to serve. I remember years ago when they actually had the Christian bookstores, which actually had books in them. Anyway, I was listening. A guy was on the, you know, his right wrist, cell phones were just coming in, was on the cell phone. He was telling the guy, he says, I don't want to get promoted. I don't want that responsibility. I'm thinking, isn't that something? In other words, I just want to hide in the corner. I don't want to be put forward. And by the way, that's why you guys in the military, particularly if you guys in the Army, there's some people who don't do anything to get promoted because they don't want any responsibility. Just want to be there. You know, if the Lord has given you the ability to lead, you need to what? You need to lead. And if you are lazy or don't want the responsibility, you're shirking your calling. So one of the first qualifications of an elder he gives here is you must do it willingly. Something that you believe is God's calling on your life. And so by willing, it means you must love the Lord. You must love the flock. You must love to serve. You must love to teach the word. Doesn't necessarily mean that every elder is going to be a preacher or a teacher of a class. You must love to counsel by the word. An elder, people look to church leaders for guidance. So an elder must have not only a willing heart, but must have pure motivation. An elder must not be someone in it for gain or for power or for prestige. He said an elder must be there because he wants to serve. Must be eager to serve others because he loves God. He must love his brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, that's the idea you have over in Philippians chapter 2, where it says that we are to think on the things of others more highly than ourselves. That we're not looking to serve ourselves, but looking to serve other people. And so that's a concept that Peter's getting across here. An elder must not be a lord over the flock, but he must lead the flock. Matter of fact, one of the things that the shepherd pointed out in this little book was the fact that sheep cannot be driven, they must be led. You know. And he talked about a lot of times for protection's sake, several flocks are gathered together in a pen and the shepherd's guide around. But when the shepherd separates his flock, all he has to do is make the proper sound. His sheep follow, the others don't. They follow the voice of the shepherd. And I saw this over in Israel. Remember, our bus had to stop because sheep were crossing. I never seen on the roads here sheep crossing, you know. And by the way, they got some weird looking sheep there. They got what's called fat-tailed sheep. And they got these real heavy, and apparently, someone said it's good eating. I never ate a sheep tail. I mean, we had to wait till the sheep crossed the road, but they crossed the road when the shepherd crossed the road, and they all followed him. And what the shepherd would do is they put a bell on the head ewe, and he would lead the ewe, and then all the sheep would follow that sheep. And there's a problem if the ewe decides they're going to sit down and not go anywhere. Because the rest of the sheep do what? They lay down and not go. I said, no, wait a minute. You know, it's, you know, and so that's how sheep work. Or not. And so sheep are led and not driven. That's a great illustration. The flock of God is not driven. It's not bullied. It's not powered. They're led. They're led by example. They're led by proper biblical instruction. So elders must take on the responsibility of not only seriously and willingly serve, but with humility, leading by example, not by threat, not by terror, not by intimidation. This is the way leadership works. A prideful or dominating man is not eligible to be an elder. Self-willed person is, as Samuel told Saul, is like being an idol worshiper. Now, many of us probably have testimony of being in churches where you had dominating leaders and destroyed the church. And a lot of pain, a lot of suffering through that. That's not the way eldership is supposed to work. Doesn't mean that there's not time that you have to do church discipline, right? Doesn't mean the fact that there aren't sometimes correction to be done. But it all has to be done in the spirit of humility, spirit of love, spirit of grace, a spirit that is worthy to lead people to a biblical understanding in Jesus Christ. So if an elder does well in his calling, it says he'll get a crown of glory. The word crown here is a Stephanus crown, a winner's crown of glory. Back in the Greek days, you get a laurel leaf crown if you're in the Olympic Games. If you're in the Isthmian Games in Corinth, you had a crown of parsley, which I always thought was a side thing they used to put it in restaurants, you know. But what soon happens to the laurel leaves? And the part, they just fade away. Notice he adds here, said, listen, the crown of glory I'm going to give you will not fade away. Your Stephanos crown will not fade away, but will last forever. If you are a faithful elder, a faithful leader of the church, it will not fade away. And so you have there, the winner of a race was given his laurels, but the elder's crown can never fade away. By the way, there's seven crowns mentioned in the New Testament. The victor's crown, the crown of life, the imperishable crown, the crown of rejoicing, the crown of righteousness mentioned by Paul in 2 Timothy 4, the crown of glory mentioned here, and the crown of authority. And so there are these several different crowns mentioned. And by the way, the crown of life is a martyr's crown. So those who are you know, martyred for Jesus' sake receive that. So there are seven different crowns mentioned. This is one of them. Now, not only are elders are to oversee the flock, but the flock is to follow the leadership of the elders. A church works well when godly leadership is leading a flock who's willing to follow godly leadership. If the leadership is not godly, or if there is rebellion within the ranks of the church, then the church suffers and cannot properly serve the Lord and support testimony to others. Remember, when we come together as a church body, we come together for instructions and mutual edification so that we might serve the Lord out there. We serve each other in the Lord, and we take that to those people who are lost. I noticed when I drove out of my neighborhood today that there's very few people up and stirring, because there's very few people going to churches worshiping the Lord. Matter of fact, I guarantee you I saw more people walking their dogs and going on a walk than in most churches around. No idea what's going on in their life spiritually. Now let me end by saying this. I don't want to end on a negative note, but I want to just emphasize this warning. I remember we were in a very young and in a church, and was made the principal of the school. And the pastor called me in and wanted me to tell me about a feud between two of these women who were on my staff. I thought, great. I probably need to hear it. But then he turned to me and said this. He says, now, if you tell anybody what I just told you, I'll swear you're lying. And I'm thinking, oh, wait a minute. This guy, I say, what? He's a pastor. I had a very high view of pastors up to that point. But that really put an arrow in my heart, where he said, if you tell anybody what I just told you, I'll swear you're lying. I went to seminary with a man who insisted on being called Deacon Smith. You couldn't address him by his name. He had to be called what? Deacon Smith. And I'm thinking, this guy's probably a problem in his church. As a matter of fact, we actually had a missionary, you know, that we had connection with. We really didn't support him as a church, but gave him a problem. And I won't go into the details. But if you insist on me calling Deacon or Reverend or Elder, you're not looking to serve. You're looking to be served. I remember another time, now I'm not going to go on the stories. I was in seminary out in Indiana, Winona Lake, and actually taking Christian School Administration, Master's of Art. And we went to a church, we were invited to a church, and it was before the service began, so we had several of us seminary students here, we were talking. And pastor gets up up in the pulpit, and before he starts the service, he points to us and says, listen, I don't want any disruption from you young men over here. You know, we're going to worship the Lord. I'm just saying, what in the world's going on here? And it turned out it was a very legalistic church. We didn't go back. But this king of the pulpit type approach, that's not what we're talking about here. That's not what we're talking about here. One more illustration. I know I'm giving you negative illustrations. Pastor in our own fellowship. His philosophy was there can be only one pastor in the church, and what he says goes, and everybody has to follow in line. That's not what we're talking about here. Matter of fact, most churches do not survive the next generation of that if everybody has to be a carbon copy of the man. It is not my church. It belongs to Jesus Christ. And if I am going to lead in this church, it's going to be based upon what does the Lord want me to do? Leaders, it belongs to God, not us. And if it's about you or if it's about me, it's time to step down. Because all praise must be to Him. I was at the pastor's conference over here, and a guy came up, and he was talking to me and all excited about the Bible stuff. And he was talking about Moses, you know, that he was giving instruction. He was supposed not to hit the rock, but to speak to him. And that's why I said, no, you don't understand what that passage is about. Moses said, shall we bring water out of this rock? When it comes to the Lord's service, there is no we. It's only Him. And I'm just a tool. Amen? Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for the privilege of looking at at this passage and the strong admonition that leaders are given to serve the Lord. The strong admonition that we've been given to stand firm, to be examples, to teach in season and out of season. And Lord, just use us in a way that glorifies Your holy name. Draw us ever closer to You. That in every way, in every fashion, we'll honor You. And I pray this day, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that this is the day to put your faith in Jesus Christ. And everything will become all about Jesus, all for Jesus, and all for His glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.